By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, another morning with Madani Channel, Rise and Shine, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, naturally, as usual, each and every single day, as well as our daily topic, as well as our daily Hadith Sharif, the daily reminder. Each and every single morning, we listen to some verses of the glorious Quran. Now, just by listening to some verses, alhamdulillah, we have listened to the entire Surah Al-Fatiha, which is about one page most of the time. You open the first page of the glorious Quran, it's known as Al-Fatiha, the opening. You open the first page of the glorious Quran and Surah Al-Fatiha. This is the first chapter. Just that one page is the first chapter of the glorious Quran. And subsequent to that, we also listen to the entire Surah Baqarah, the Surah of the Cow, which was nearly 300 verses, about 286 or so verses, my dear viewers. It, subhanAllah, it took us some time. And now, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, we have moved to the third chapter of the glorious Quran, which is known as Surah Ali Imran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah Ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaytane mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
الف لام میم اللہ لا الہ الا هو الحی القیوم
اللہ ہے جس کے سوا کسی کی پوجا نہیں آپ زندہ اوروں کا قائم رکھنے والا
نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وانزل التوراة والانجيل من قبل هدى للناس وانزل الفرقان
اس نے تم پر یہ سچی کتاب اتاری اگلی کتابوں کی تصدیق فرماتی اور اس نے اس سے پہلے توریت اور انجیل اتاری لوگوں کو راہ دکھاتی اور فیصلہ اتارا
ان الذين كفروا بآيات الله لهم عذاب شديد والله عزيز ذو انتقام
بے شک وہ جو اللہ کی آیتوں سے منکر ہوئے ان کے لیے سخت عذاب ہے اور اللہ غالب بدلہ لینے والا ہے
إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء
اللہ پر کچھ چھپا نہیں زمین میں نہ آسمان میں
والذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم
وہی ہے کہ تمہاری تصویر بناتا ہے ماؤں کے پیٹ میں جیسی چاہے اس کے سوا کسی کی عبادت نہیں عزت والا حکمت والا
والذی انزل علیک الکتاب منہ آیات محکمات ہن ام الکتاب و اخر متشابہات
وہی ہے جس نے تم پر یہ کتاب اتاری اس کی کچھ آیتیں صاف معنی رکھتی ہیں وہ کتاب کی اصل ہیں اور دوسری وہ ہیں جن کے معنی میں اشتباہ ہے
فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله
وہ جن کے دلوں میں کجی ہے وہ اشتباہ والی کے پیچھے پڑتے ہیں گمراہی چاہنے اور اس کا پہلو ڈھونڈنے کو اور اس کا ٹھیک پہلو اللہ ہی کو معلوم ہے
والراسخون فی العلم یقولون آمنا به کل من عند ربنا وما یذکر الا اولو الالباب
اور پختہ علم والے کہتے ہیں ہم اس پر ایمان لائے سب ہمارے رب کے پاس سے ہے اور نصیحت نہیں مانتے مگر عقل والے
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد اذ ہدیتنا وہب لنا من لدنک رحمہ انک انت الوہاب
اے رب ہمارے دل ٹیڑے نہ کر بعد اس کے کہ تو نے ہمیں ہدایت دی اور ہمیں اپنے پاس سے رحمت عطا کر بے شک تو ہے بڑا دینے والا
ربنا انک جامع الناس لیوم لا ریب فیہ ان اللہ لا یخلف المیعاد
اے رب ہمارے بے شک تو سب لوگوں کو جمع کرنے والا ہے اس دن کے لیے جس میں کوئی شبہ نہیں بے شک اللہ کا وعدہ نہیں بدلتا
ان الذين كفروا لن تغني عنهم اموالهم ولا اولادهم من الله شيئا
بے شک وہ جو کافر ہوئے ان کے مال اور ان کی اولاد اللہ سے انہیں کچھ نہ بچا سکیں گے
وَأُولَئِكَ هُمْ وَقُودُ النَّارِ
اور وہی دوزخ کے ایندھن ہیں
صدق اللہ العظیم
صلو علی الحبیب صلو اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلو اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم الحمدللہ عز و جل We have listened to the glorious Qur'an Pak, the beautiful recitation of the glorious Qur'an, the Holy Qur'an. Alhamdulillah, the Qur'an, my dear viewers, in no doubt, is a miracle. Just listening to it is so soothing, it's so beautiful. And as well as this, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, remember that by reciting the Qur'an, not only do we just gain blessings and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is, yes, it is a living miracle, meaning it is also shifa, really it is, my dear viewers. This is something which many people would have experienced. There's some sort of spiritual remedy, anything you require. You will be told to read different things, and sometimes particular chapters or parts of the glorious Qur'an. You will say, read this, and then blow on the person who has the problem. And honestly, you can see with, alhamdulillah, you can see with our own eyes, my dear viewers, that just by reciting the Qur'an, blowing, a person who's had a toothache for so long, that toothache has disappeared. A person who is, you know, got a headache, a migraine, for days he can't sleep, and then subhanAllah, you recite the glorious Qur'an, and if, after having recited the Qur'an, just to blow on that person, and then they are, subhanAllah, immediately cured, Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, yes, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting them this shifa. So beautiful, but via or by means of the glorious Qur'an, reciting the glorious Qur'an. We should please, please do make it a regular practice of ours to recite the glorious Qur'an each and every single day. No matter what situation you are in, try to regularly recite the glorious Qur'an if possible. Yes, firstly, the most important thing is reciting the Qur'an. If you can do, it's also, in fact, just as important to be able to understand what the Qur'an is saying. And how would you do this? By taking a translation. The Kanzul Iman has been translated into the English language. Are also available on the Dawat Islami website, my dear viewers. Please do download that and try to read it. Now, my dear viewers of the channel, we have listened to the Nashif, and alhamdulillah, not to the Nashif, the Qur'an-e-Pak, And alhamdulillah, let's move on to the Naat Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now today's Naat Sharif is not in the Urdu language as usual, my dear viewers, but neither is it in the English language. It's not in the Arabic language either. Which language is it in? Let's take a look and find out. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Ya
Jana tu hi jana
نہ تو ہی چوما ہے ارض و سما چوما ہے ارض و سما کعبہ تو ہی کعبہ تو ہی کعبہ تو ہی کعبہ تو ہی
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers of Mandarin Channel, yes, what you heard may have sounded a little like the Urdu language, but it is not. This language is not very far from the Urdu language, my dear viewers. In fact, the much of the Urdu language is taken from this language. Which language was it? It was Persian. Yes, my dear viewers of Mother Nature Channel, that was read in the Persian language. So it is very, very similar, isn't it? Now, I think the Urdu language is taken from about 8 languages, if I'm correct. And this is, for example, even English. Yes, the Urdu language, words of English we find in the Urdu language. Similarly, Arabic, similarly Persian, my dear viewers, that's all I know. It's taken from approximately 8 or so languages, and these are from amongst us. So it was very similar. A person generally who wouldn't be able to identify, he would say that it's the Urdu language. Those who don't know generally the Urdu language, but those who would know, they would know this doesn't sound like Urdu. Allahu Akbar, my dear viewers. But nevertheless, as we mentioned, that was in Persian. Alhamdulillah. In each and how many languages are there in the world? I do not know. Allahu Akbar. Really, I do not know, my dear viewers. Now, languages, there was something which it said that languages, even dialects, this is what we must understand, that what is language is a change in dialect, but there are many changes. So it has been said that dialects change over every 15 or so kilometers. Every 15 or so kilometers, we find that people speak differently. Now, this is how it used to be. So if you were in one area, they would engage, they would communicate in their language. And some dialects would be similar to other dialects, would have similar words. And this would be considered one language, my dear viewers. Now, there would be so many. If you were to move to a different place, people would speak differently. Now, for example, even in this day and age, it still does exist. But it won't no longer be 15 kilometers. It will be one city to another city. So, for example, I'm living in Leeds, my dear viewers. And if I was to go either down south towards Birmingham, you see that they pronounce some words differently. They say some words which would make us smile, subhanAllah. Different people who would think, you know, it sounds a bit strange, a little different. That's if I were to move south. If I were to move even more south towards London, you would see their own accent. Just little changes, yes. Accents, dialects, my dear viewers. And if you were to go towards Scotland sides, this is speaking for those, for the community in the north of England, my dear viewers. If we are to move further north towards Scotland, there will be some people who we don't even understand. And the people who are living in Scotland are watching from there, they would think, I don't understand you either. Allahu Akbar. This is nothing wrong with that, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this, and this is subhanAllah, it's a blessing, it's a means of communication. But what is the point I was trying to get at, my dear viewers? That there are small differences. There are small differences in accents, in dialect, which make it difficult sometimes to understand what another person is saying. But as time passed by, with the development of technology, with the spread of technology, nowadays we have the media. So now, my dear viewers, we are used to all watching the same thing. We all watch, you know, television, and on television, people speak with quite a neutral accent. Yes, you can tell sometimes a person from England, or whether a person's from Australia, New Zealand, or America. Now, this is the difference. It's the difference on an international level, on an international scale. The differences are still there. There would be sometimes different uses of particular words. The philosophy of language, Allahu Akbar. This is not our topic, by the way. But this is just to point out, my dear viewers, that yes, there is still a difference, but now the difference is minor. It's a minute difference. I could go to America, I could go to Australia or New Zealand and speak perfectly, be able to speak with them. Perfectly be able to speak with them. Yes, there may be some areas whose accents of the English language are very, very strong. This is English. It's because all of these countries speak English, my dear viewers. Now, if you were to go to Pakistan, the Urdu language, this is also an international language. Many people would speak Urdu very similar, as far as I'm aware. But in different places, there's different dialects of even the Urdu. Then it goes to Punjabi, and there's so many others, there's Patwari, etc. So you have so many different dialects. And this is with every language. I'm just giving a few examples. Because of media, though, this has become very, very less. Why? Because we're all used to hearing the same sort of approximate dialect, the same type of English. Now, if you were to speak to a new person across the world who still speaks English, you would be able to speak with them normally. You would be completely fine. So previously, there was a lot more of a difference, but now there's much less of a difference. But the reason for me mentioning all this, you would be thinking, what is this guy talking about? My dear viewers, the reason for me to mention this is that, alhamdulillah, there are many languages all over the world, even until today. I don't know how many languages, maybe somebody could tell me, how many languages are there in the world? I don't think there will be an exact answer, but there will be a rough figure, that there are approximately this many languages. And the beauty of this, though, my dear viewers, is that in all of these different languages, we have, subhanAllah, in all of these different languages, we have people praising the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. This is the beauty, that subhanAllah, Islam has spread throughout the world, and many people in their own languages, in their own ways, they all praise the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And subhanAllah, today we've had an example of the Persian language. My dear viewers, we do need to come to our topic. What is today's topic? Today's topic is simply lying. Lying. I'm not going to sit here and encourage you to lie. No, that's the complete opposite. My objective, my aim is to discourage you, to help you and me, not just you, me too, that lying is something which is a sin. And we could sometimes let out a lie accidentally, but nevertheless, lying is lying. Sometimes we think lying is good. We'll call it a white lie. This doesn't seem fair, calling it white, but Allahu Akbar. Why is it we're calling it a white lie? Does that mean that bad lies are black lies? And you know, this. In fact, I won't just go into the color. I won't go into that, my dear viewers. And nevertheless, lying, and we do have this term. We have something known as a white lie. What is a white lie? People, this is made up. This is what how people would excuse themselves, how they try to desensitize the greatness of a lie. It's completely atrocious, my dear viewers. It's very sad. They call a white lie a lie which, well, in fact, I don't have a particular definition, so I'm not going to say a white lie is specifically this, or this is the definition of a white lie. But they would consider when they consider it to be good or okay to lie, they would say that's a white lie. No, it's not a lie, it's a white lie. Some would say, no, it's not a lie, it's a joke. Some would say, no, I wasn't lying, I was just joking. So now they think that a white lie is separate to a lie. A joke is also separate to a lie. So we bring these different words in order to justify lying, to make it seem as if, no, if we were to do it in such a situation, then it is fine. But who decides what the situation is? This is something they must think about. Who decides when it is fine? Who decides when it is a joke? And when it is not a joke? What if for you it is a joke, but for somebody else it is not? If somebody was to ask a question, and you were to be messing with them, and you lied, this is your, and you would like to say that, I was joking. My dear viewers, maybe due to that lie which you told, a person may have either a loss of money, It could be anything. It could be loss of money. It could even be, and this is possibly extreme cases you can say, but even if it happens in one situation, even one situation, this is bad, very, very bad. Let's just say your lie costs a person their life. Let's just say your lie or your joke was to cost somebody their life. And many a time, jokes do cost people their lives. But one thing you could say it's a joke, it's harmed another person. Secondly, you can say death, this is extreme. How often does death occur due to a joke? Not very often, yes, we must admit. That very rare that due to a joke you'll have a death, but it does happen though, doesn't it? So even if it was only to happen once, even if it was only to ever happen once, not a few times or many times, even just once, isn't this really bad? So my dear viewers, joke, another thing in regards to joke, you may be joking, you may have harmed his feelings, but how does he know it's a joke? To him, is it also a joke? You may say something about somebody, you may, let's talk about lying or just jokes in general. You may say something about somebody else. And you say, no, I was only kidding. Kidding is what we say, my dear viewers. Kidding is a term used. I don't know if this is used internationally, but kidding means joking. I was just joking with them. I was just kidding. I was just messing about. These are ways of saying I was joking. So they would say, I was just kidding. I was just joking. But to that person, is it a joke? So Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla, my dear viewers, Islam has given us guidelines. These guidelines are completely perfect. It doesn't mean we can't have jokes, but and also, it depends what you mean by a joke. If a joke is always having somebody as an object, the object of a joke is being harmed, then this is not very good, is it? But yes, you can have humor in Islam. Alhamdulillah. We have humor in Islam. We have jokes in Islam. But these cannot entail lying. Lying does not constitute a joke, my dear viewers. Lying does not constitute humor. Lying is a sin. This is what we must understand. Lying is a sin. And it's said that lying, well, undoubtedly, if it's a sin, a person who lies becomes a sinner. And a person who becomes a sinner lead a person to the fire of hell. Now, lying is something which, if you were to ask anybody, maybe I'm wrong, try this. And ask anybody what they think about lying. Is lying a good thing or is it a bad thing? And in every society, in every community, every nation, everybody understands that lying is bad, lying is wrong. And Islam never allows lying, my dear viewers. Well, other than three cases, in fact. Yes, it is mentioned that within Islam, you're allowed to lie in three cases. It doesn't mean you're allowed to lie three times. So people will think, yeah, but you're allowed to lie in three cases or three times. Does that mean that right now I can tell a lie and then later can tell another lie and then sometime else I can tell another lie? You know, it's like three times I've done my three, that's it, now I can't lie no more. No, my dear viewers, lying is allowed not three times, but in three cases, we are allowed to lie. And how beautiful is this? What these cases are, let's first move to our daily reminder, and then inshallah, we shall hear about it. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah,
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما شاء الله عز وجل we've been watching Madani channel and we've been learning about the beautiful life of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. I want to have a very beautiful story in front of me, and this story is about the blessed parents of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and especially about his father. You heard about the story where his father, he eats an apple and he has for that to be forgiven. He works for 12 years and he marries a woman that he was told that she had many defects. There's another very beautiful story that is related to the father of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Do you know why he's called Jangi Dost? I'll tell you why. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was a man of abstinence and self-restraint who struggled hard against his nafs. He remained deep engaged in worship and devotion, invited others towards righteousness and preventing them from evil. He never dared to stake his life for his noble cause of enjoying what is right and forbidding what is wrong. So one day, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was going towards the Jami Masjid, and he saw that some servants of the king, they were heading to the palace of the king, and cautiously they were carrying clay pots filled with alcohol on their heads. Overcome by passion of Nahyun Anil Munkar, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi rushed there and broke those pots. Having seen the awe and the majesty of Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, no servant could dare to say anything or do anything. When they went back to the palace, they complained to the king, and the king in fury asked to be presented in front of him. Sayyiduna Musa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi arrived there and found the king sitting on his throne, flowing in rage and anger. The king said, "Who are you to waste all the efforts of my servants?" Why? Because he broke the clay pots that were full of alcohol. Who gave you the right? He was angry. Who gave you the right to? You broke them. Sayyiduna Musa rahmatullahi replied, "I am a supervisor and I have just discharged my duty. I've just done my duty." The king asked him, "Who has given you that duty of the supervisor?" Sayyiduna Musa rahmatullahi ta'ala replied in his awe-inspiring and domineering voice, "The one who has appointed you as a king." Listening to such a straightforward reply and being overcome with deep emotions, the king put his head on his knees and requested after a while, "Except for Amrun bil Ma'roof wa Nahyun Anil Munkar, what was the wisdom behind breaking them pots?" Now the king, he came into sense and he asked him, "Please tell me, why did you break them pots?" Sayyiduna Abu Musa Jangi Dost rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, "For the sake of saving you from disgrace in this world and the hereafter, while showing affection towards you." The wise conversation inspired the king greatly and he humbly said, "O pious man, you are now appointed the supervisor on my behalf as well." Sayyiduna Musa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi replied in a very relaxed manner, "When I have been designated by the Lord Rabb Azza wa Jal, then after that privilege, I don't need anyone else to give me that job." Since that day, he rahmatullahi alayhi was known by the title of Jangi Dost. Subhanallah. This was the father of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi alayhi. When you have a father who is so pious, who is so upright in his duty, and you have children like Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi alayhi, may Allah ta'ala make me and all of us pious, so that our children can become pious as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers on the channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Lying, my dear viewers, is possibly the worst of sins. Now, yes, there are bad sins and there are worse things you could say than lying. There are worse sins than lying. There's no doubt about it. If you were to consider lying and murdering somebody, what's a lie compared to murdering somebody? Allahu Akbar, is nothing. But the effects of lying is one of the worst things that could ever be. Really, lying, my dear viewers, because when a person lying, or you cannot trust a person whether he tells the truth or a lie, then anything that a person says is doubtful. Anything. You can no longer, there's no longer any trust in the world. When a person lies, then just, and yes, they may tell a lie once and they may catch up on it once. And that's possibly the only time they've told a lie. But now anything that same person says, there is doubt in whatever he says now. Why? Because this person has lied. Now you can no longer trust this person. It said it has, isn't it, that it takes a very, very long time. It takes a really long time to gain trust. But it is very, very easily to break that trust. And this is lying, my dear viewers. And really, in fact, because I was speaking about something previously, I shall touch upon that once again. That in Islam, there is no lying. There's no such thing as lying. No, my dear viewers. We are not allowed to lie. We are not allowed to lie in Islam. Alhamdulillah. And this is beautiful, really. It is beautiful. Not lying. Always being truthful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known as as-sadiq, the truthful, a person who would never lie. He would never lie. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did say that in some cases, he mentioned three cases, that a person is permitted to lie. And this shows the importance of these things. And one of these things, my dear viewers, is if two individuals were to break up, then you are permitted to lie to each one of them about each other in order to bring them back together. So it's not just that you'll have to lie in three cases. No. It's yes, okay, you're allowed to lie to these two people, but it's not about your own things or to make things worse between them. No, my dear viewers. It's to bring them back together. For example, if there was to be somebody by the name of Zaid, for example, I'm not pointing somebody out, so I hope, you know, there is no Zaid and Amr, but these are generally examples given. So if there was somebody known as Zaid, there's another person called Amr. These two were very, very good friends. And they both broke up due to something which took place between them. If you were to go to Zaid and you were to say, oh, how are you doing? And yes, Amr was praising you. He was speaking so highly of you. And immediately Zaid would think, wow, really? He's actually not a bad person. I think I was bad at what happened between us. Yeah, that shouldn't have happened. He praised me really behind me. He praised me. He said, yes, he praised you. So you have lied in this case. But then you were to go to Amr too and you would say, I was speaking to Zaid. Zaid was saying such and such about you. He was saying such and such good words about you. Amr would think, what, really? So that, and the enmity which he may have had for Zaid when they broke up, that anger, whatever it was, immediately that finishes. Why? Zaid was praising me? Why? Just he was praising me? Wow, Zaid's actually a good person. Really, wouldn't this happen immediately? That hatred, it would all be removed. And then the next time they would see each other, they would possibly give salam. And then, you know, they would possibly start talking and think, you know, how's everything? Or maybe they'll go and apologize to each other. I did this wrong. It shouldn't have been done. What is this? Bringing about unity. Bringing about unity amongst the Muslims, my dear viewers. And unity is very, very important. This is one case when a person is permitted to lie. It's also mentioned in terms of warfare and also about a person's wife. You know, you can say you're the most beautiful woman in the world. Now, she may not be the most beautiful woman in the world. This would be a lie. Allahu Akbar. They said that this is permitted, my dear viewers. Nevertheless, it shows the importance of such things. Allahu Akbar. It shows the great importance, my dear viewers. Now, lying, other than these cases, is not permitted. A person is not permitted to lie. It is something which is not permissible. It is something which is contrary to the acts of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the acts of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in fact, one companion he wasn't a companion at the time. He was a non-Muslim at the time. He approached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says that, Ya Rasulullah, I wish to accept your deen. I wish to become a Muslim. And he says, I wish to become a Muslim, but I have these bad traits, these evil traits within me, which it is very, very difficult for me to stop them. But if you allow me to stop only one of them, but I can continue the rest, one of them I'll give up on this condition, that I'll only give up one of these, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. then I will accept Islam. I will accompany you, I will become from amongst your companions. What were these traits? He says that I drink alcohol. He drinks alcohol. He steals. He commits fornication. And he lies. He says, I have these four traits within me, that I steal, I mazallah commit fornication, adultery, I mazallah drink alcohol, and I lie. I do these four things. It is very, very difficult for me to stop them, but I'll stop one. I'll stop one of them. If you allow me to stop one of them, and I will only stop one of them, then I will enter your religion. If you permit me to continue doing the rest, but just to stop one of these, I will stop whichever one you say. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how does he reply to this? My dear viewers, let's listen to the daily hadith sharif and then we shall hear more on this. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, inshallah, in today's daily hadith, I will be sharing a hadith in regards to a beautiful sunnah, narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ إِنْدَ كُلِّ سَلَامٍ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, had I not found it difficult upon my ummah, I would have commanded them that they use the miswak for every salah. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, from this hadith we can understand how much importance and emphasis has been made upon using the miswak. Alongside there being many hygienical and medical benefits of using the miswak, the greatest virtue of using the miswak, of course, is that it is the sunnah of Rasulullah and it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the miswak, it pleases the Rahman and it displeases the shaitan. Using the miswak, it graces an individual with the presence, with the company of the angels. And through using the miswak, one is able to elevate his status in Jannah. Also, the miswak aids a person in the pangs of death. And the salah which is performed after using the miswak, its reward is also multiplied by 70. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, why don't you also make the intention to use the miswak? Now, how do we use the miswak? When do we use the miswak? To learn about all these manners and many other Madani pearls in regards to miswak, I encourage you to read the booklet written by Sheikh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya, entitled Blessings of Miswak, which can be purchased at your nearest Maktabatul Madina, or alternatively, you can download it on the website of Dawat Islami. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the privilege of being able to make use of this beautiful miswak and ultimately act upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. We're speaking about lying, something which is considered bad by everybody. Nobody would say lying is good. The society, the system cannot work. It is not honesty. You know, if there was to be, if you were to speak to, well, whether that be parents, whether that be neighbors, whether that be the counselors, those people in your community, even whether that be the judges in court, if there's lying everywhere, my dear viewers, nothing can really the system cannot work properly. And this is the reason why we do have so many problems. And I won't talk about problems in the system, but everywhere from this lying, there's so much lying which everybody's doing, and this has caused so many problems, is causing problems, continues to cause problems. Maravia, this is lying. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, somebody came to him, a person who was not a Muslim. He said that I have these four traits. I lie, I drink alcohol, I commit fornication, I steal. But I'll only give up one of these. You choose whichever one you say. I'll give up that one and allow me to accept Islam, to become a Muslim. So what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to him? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you're only going to give up one, he would say, give up lying. He would say, give up lying, no longer lie. Stop lying. Now this person says, okay, from now on, I will never lie. He accepts Islam and he becomes a Muslim. Now that he has become a Muslim, it does not mean that the rest of these things are permissible for him, no. But what happens? He has become a Muslim. His day goes by, he does whatever he needs to do. His day goes by and he comes across alcohol. Somebody offers him alcohol. What does he do? This was not from the four options. The Prophet ﷺ said he must stop lying. So he'll take the alcohol, he'll think, let's drink the alcohol. Alcohol is something which is known as the evil, the mother of evils, my dear viewers. He takes alcohol and then he thinks to himself that if I'm going to drink alcohol and the Prophet ﷺ was to ask me about it later, did you do these things? Did you drink alcohol? Then I said to the Prophet ﷺ that I will not lie, so I can't lie. I can't say that I didn't drink it if I do. And then he says, but if I was to tell the truth to the Prophet ﷺ, if I was to drink this, and the Prophet ﷺ later asked me, did you drink alcohol? If I was to speak the truth and say, yes, I did drink alcohol, then I'll be punished. Then I shall be held liable, I shall be punished. So what do I do? He's in a dilemma. I cannot lie because I promise not to lie. And if I tell the truth, I'll be punished. So he thinks, forget it. I'm not going to drink the alcohol. He rejects this, he's taking it back. He continues. He finds the opportunity to steal. He finds the opportunity to steal something. He sees something. He thinks, that looks good, that's worth quite a bit, let's take that. But then he thinks, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he was to ask me, I cannot lie, I cannot say I didn't, if I do. I can't steal this and then say, no, I didn't steal, because I promised not to lie to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then, if I was to steal, then I would be punished. If I was to say, yes, that I did steal, then I shall be punished. What am I going to do? Oh, let's not steal it, forget it, leave it. He comes across the opportunity to commit adultery or fornication. And then he thinks to himself that if I was to be asked, I cannot lie, I promise not to lie. And if I was to say yes, if I was to admit it, I shall be punished. What am I going to do? He says, no, I will not commit adultery, I will not commit fornication. And then he thinks to himself, wow, from all of these things, which one seems like the least? Adultery, Allahu Akbar, so big, so bad. Alcohol, the mother of all evils, wow, really, really bad. What was the third option? Stealing, really bad. Bad, my dear viewers. But lying, how bad? Is it really bad? It's a major sin, by the way, Matifus. You're not allowed to lie. Lying is not permissible. It is a sin. It is bad. But generally, if you were to look at it, in terms of the rest, compared to the rest, compared to stealing, you say it's only a lie. Compared to stealing, compared to adultery, compared to alcohol, no way. Lying? So he thinks, wow. The Prophet ﷺ could have said, no, do not commit adultery, that's really bad. Or do not commit alcohol, that's very, very bad. No, the Prophet ﷺ didn't say that. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Lying. That if it's only one of these you're going to give up, then give up lying. From amongst all of these, nobody would guess it was lying. What would you have guessed? No way. Lying? Lying is minor compared to these things. No, my dear viewers, it's not about what's big or small. It's about the greatness, really. The mental capacity, brilliance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that if he was just to prohibit him from one thing, from all of these four, if he was to say to stop, if he was only to stop just lying, then automatically, just by stopping him from lying, just by him promising, I will never lie, he has given up lying. He has also given up alcohol. He has also given up fornication. He has also given up stealing. Just due to this one lying. Allahu Akbar. This is a true event from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it shows, doesn't it? It shows how great, how big a sin lying truly is, my dear viewers. So and everyone would say, but sometimes, no, my dear viewers, please, really, I'd say to you, please do not lie. Even little things, do not lie, because if you're going to lie upon little things, then that will increase. Really, it will. You may think, no, I don't lie for big things, only little things I lie. But just lying on instances where you think it's minor, you think it's only a little lie, it doesn't matter. No, why? Because just by lying, one thing, it is a sin. Second thing, it is something you are mentally becoming used to. You think, no, it's just a minor lie. Then one time it may be a major lie. And then you will develop the habit of lying and regularly lying. This is what takes place. And kids and lying, will come to that very, very soon too. First, inshallah, let's move to our segment, especially for the kids. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Dear Madani children, a farmer and his son were opening up a sack. In the meanwhile, a mouse saw this through a wall. Looking at the sack, the mouse thought,
What can be in this sack? There might be something to eat in there. I will have fun today.
After a little while, the mouse saw that there was a mouse trap inside the sack, which made him scared. He thought to himself that the farmer and his son have brought the mouse trap in order to capture him.
Now I have no escape.
The mouse went to make his friends aware of this danger. The mouse started screaming loudly.
There's a mouse trap in the house. Be careful. There's a mouse trap in the house.
When the rooster heard this, he raised his neck and said,
Oh mouse, only you are endangered with the mouse trap. How would I get entrapped in it? Hence, you are the one who should be careful.
After that, the mouse went to the goat and said to the goat,
Oh goat, the farmer has brought a mouse trap in his house today. We all are in danger because of it.
The goat comforted the mouse and said,
Oh mouse, I really feel sorry for you. But what can I do? All I can do is pray for you.
The mouse became sad and returned lowering his head. He thought to himself that,
I'm to live in this house. I'll have to face the mouse trap.
Thinking about this, he fell asleep. The same night, the mouse heard a noise. The mouse thought,
Has anyone been trapped in the mouse trap?
So he went towards the mouse trap. He saw that a snake has been trapped in the mouse trap. Listening to that noise, son of the farmer ran towards the mouse trap. He thought that the mouse would have been trapped. He stretched his hand towards the mouse trap in the dark without even thinking. And the snake bit him. Poison of the snake started spreading in the body of the farmer's son. The farmer took him to the hospital. The doctor discharged him after treating him. Few days later, son of the farmer comes back home after recovering. However, he was fallen weak. In order to remove his weakness, the farmer thought of slaughtering the rooster. The next day, he slaughtered the rooster, made its soup and gave it to his son. Farmer's relatives started to come to inquire after his son's health. The farmer fed them the meat of the goat by slaughtering it. Few days later, farmer's son fully recovered. But both selfish friends of mouse had lost their lives. The mouse felt extremely pity for his selfish friends. He thought,
I wish my friends had listened to me and helped me out.
Lesson. Dear Madani children, we learn from this story that if we want to remain safe from difficulties and calamities, then we shall help out the afflicted people. Saying of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the one who removed any worldly difficulty of a believer, Allah Almighty will remove his difficulty of the judgment day.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, removing a difficulty, subhanallah, from another believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your difficulties, inshallah, azza wa jal, on the day of judgment. And subhanallah, man, just, and in fact, even within our religion, it said that there are stages of iman. And from amongst these, yes, the greatest is testifying, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. And it said that the lowest is what? Picking up something from the pathway in order for another person not to be harmed by it. This is the lowest level of iman. This is our iman, my dear viewers. These are the teachings of Islam. So beautiful, so perfect. And subhanAllah, today, my dear viewers, we have been speaking about lying. That you should not lie. And I did say, I shall come to lying on kids. Because it said, scientists say that generally it's normal for kids to lie. Why? Because kids are always trying to seek attention. So in order to gain attention, they'll make up stories. You know, they'll go to school and they'll say that, yes, you know, my father bought a Ferrari. Oh, well, subhanAllah, my father bought such and such car, or my father bought a supercar. Or I was doing this yesterday, I went to this place, I went to that place, and they will tell lies. And as kids, they do this, my dear viewers. And yes, kids tell many, many lies. And then when they grow up, people tell more and more lies. Many a time, yes, the people who are older, the people who are adults, they do tell more lies than children, sadly, which is the truth. But children will tell many lies. When does lying begin? No doubt it begins when a person is a child and they will lie about something and then they will get away with that something. And then they would possibly even benefit a little from the lying. Apparently they would benefit. They would think by lying this is what's happened. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, when they lie, you turn a blind eye to that lie. You turn a blind eye to that lie, then they think, oof, I lied, I got away with it, no problem. I'm not saying punish them, no, my dear viewers. It's not that. But teach them, tell them that you shouldn't lie. So even if sometimes they've caught them to lie, and you shouldn't always, now, another problem is always being very harsh to children. You shouldn't be harsh to children. They're children, they're going to lie. This is what happens. Kids, they lie. So it doesn't mean you always be, you know, really, really severe. But to say, look, lying is not good. I hope you didn't lie. So even though sometimes you may know the person's lied, you're not going to always point your mouth and say, oh, you're lying. No, this is not the way. Well, this is my opinion. I don't think this is the way. But sometimes, even though you know they've lied, But sometimes you need to allow kids to get away with something. But you always need to teach them that lying is bad. So let's just say, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, but remember, you shouldn't lie. You remember, lying is not good. Just don't lie. If you didn't lie, be honest, you know, I would have let you get away with it. It's okay, or you're being honest, okay, that's fine. Next time, don't do this. Encourage the children to tell the truth. Don't always be attacking them. Don't always be telling them off all the time. No matter if it doesn't work like that. Do it nicely. And the most important thing is you yourself being an example. We ourselves must be example. If I'm telling my, you know, nephew or niece or my child not to lie, and he was to turn around and say to me that you're the biggest liar in the world, who are you to tell me not to lie? What am I going to say to them? If they were to turn around and said, okay, so what about yesterday when certain person was talking to you and he lied to him? You lied to the landlord, you lied to this person, you lied to that person. If you are lying to them, you are teaching them that it's okay to lie. If you lie sometimes, you're teaching them it's okay to lie sometimes. If you are lying when you're in a difficult situation, you're teaching them that when they are in a difficult situation, when they've stolen a sweet or they've taken a chocolate from the drawer when they were not supposed to take it, then and now they're going to be in trouble. Now they're in a difficult situation. Now it's okay for them to lie. So whatever we are going to do, this is going to rub off, as you would say. This is going to rub off on our children, on those people who are around us, the youngsters around us, our nephews and nieces. Normally, viewers, do not lie. Protect yourself. Prevent lying. Get rid of this, really. Lying, to stop lying. Make a promise. You cannot gain spirituality by lying. If a person is always, you know, he always has tension, he's always worried, he's anxious all the time, lying does not help this, no. It does not make things easy. Although you may think temporarily it will. No, but lying does not. Why? Because you have to always remember those lies. Truth, you can forget about it that you ever told somebody. Why was the truth? If you told the truth to somebody, you can forget about it after that. You've spoken the truth, end of story, finished. If you lie to somebody, you cannot forget about that. You have to remember that. Why? Because the next time that same topic or anything comes up, you must remember that same lie you told them to maintain that. Otherwise, they'll think, but last time you told me it was this. And then you'll be caught, oh, I was lying. So to gain inner peace, really, to feel at peace with yourself, we must stop lying. We really must stop lying. Mentally, to gain peace, we must stop lying. And there are, subhanAllah, there are so many things in regards to lying, in terms of business, our income, lying to our bosses, lying to our associates, lying, why are we lying? SubhanAllah, this is a topic which is really vast. Today we've spoken a very little about it. Please do try to give up lying. Remember, it has also been mentioned within the glorious Quran. وَجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ has been mentioned within the glorious Quran. And avoid false speech. Avoid false speech. And in fact, in another verse, إنما يفتر الكذب الذين لا يؤمنون بآيات الله وأولئك هم الكاذبون. And it has been mentioned, only those who do not believe in Allah's verses attribute false allegations, and only they are liars. And Mufti Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi rahmallahu ta'ala, he states about this verse, he says that lying, laying false accusations, these are from the traits of faithless people. People who have no belief, they have no faith. People who have no iman. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers, we should always refrain from lying. That's all for now. My dear viewers, please remember this one lesson. Even if you've been watching the entire program for 1.5 hours, and you don't remember anything I said, I'll just waste your time, but please just take one thing away. Just no lying. Please make a promise to yourself right now. Promise to yourself, a promise to God, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is between you and Allah ta'ala. Inshallah, from now on, I will never tell a lie. Inshallah, I myself make this intention. You too, please do make this intention. If we've ever lied, then we do seek forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. That's all for now, my dear viewers. But inshallah, azza wa jal, we shall be returning. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun